Holly here with you in Lightning 100's 1 RPM studio, and I'm so happy today to be joined by a very special guest in the studio. We have George Ezra here.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, George. Thanks for being here.
Don't be silly. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's great to see you again. We were just talking that we think it's been about 3-4 years since you've been here.
Don't. There's only one thing I regret about this second album, and that's how long it took me to get it done.
Well, that's okay, because you put something really brilliant out. So
Thank you. You
took your time, and that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Uh-huh.
Your new album, Staying at Tamara's, is out now. And your first album, I think around 2014 is when Budapest hit.
Uh-huh.
And then you released your first album after you'd already put out a couple of EPs. Is that the year that you turned 21? 2014? Around then?
Were you
were pretty young. 20.
How old am I now?
I'm not sure.
We might have to do the math. It will have been about that. Yeah.
So happy birthday, 21, and you have this huge smash worldwide, really.
Yeah.
Number one in several countries. And so it's no surprise that you took your time to sort of, you know, tour and get comfortable with what was going on. I know when you first started out, you were pretty much playing, you know, just by yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden you had to have a band and all this stuff happened. So take us from 2014, when all of that first started for you, to now.
I think that was such a good example, the fact that I didn't know it was my 21st birthday in 2014.
Right.
It was just because I had my head down and it was just get the job at hand done. You know, everything was so new. As far as I could tell, I was this kid that had recorded some songs and released them. And it's a product of constantly saying yes to opportunities. Do you want to support this person? Yes.
Of course.
Do you want to come and play in this city? Yes. And before you know it, all of those yeses, it becomes what you do day to day. And my one regret of the first album is that I didn't really stop to take it in.
Right.
And it's not because I was taking it for granted or ignorant to it. It's just that I guess there was nerves involved. Everything was so new. I just wanted to get it done right. I wanted to, you know. Whereas this time round, I understand what it all means a bit more. And I feel as if I am just more relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable with it. And as a result, I'm able to enjoy what we're doing.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't enjoy the first album, but
course.
It was just, I blinked and it had happened. It
exactly.
was just relentless.
So what do you think the difference then is in making that first record, besides what you just said, to this record? Let's talk about maybe the songs, the content. How did that change a little bit?
The biggest difference was that when I wrote and recorded the first album, I had never played with a backing band, a group, and then I toured with my band or the band.
So that was all new.
So that was new. And now, this time going into the studio, I knew what it felt like to play with a band. I knew what it felt like to play support shows, headline shows, festival main stages, tents. I knew all these different settings. And more than anything, I knew how good it feels when people sing along. That's what I fell in love with. And that's like, that's as a result of the amazing support behind Budapest everywhere. And that song really is the song that allowed me to travel and see all these places and perform to these people. And there was a lot of deliberate, in my songwriting for the second album, there was a lot of deliberate sing-along moments. And there was this thing I realized with Woody Guthrie songs in particular.
Wow.
That he'll have, the verse will just be him and a guitar singing along. And then the chorus, two or three other vocals will join. Often there'll be male vocals and it's this gang. They're not doing beautiful harmonies, or sometimes they are. But it's saying to the audience, this is where you sing along.
Right.
And so on the first album, there was only two songs that had backing vocals, whereas this one, there's not a song without. You know, and it's that allowing the audience to know this is where we all join in together.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you got that from listening to Woody Guthrie, too. Yeah, that's super cool. I want to talk a little bit about Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan and your influences and Lead Belly and that kind of stuff. But why don't you play a song for us first?
Uh-huh.
And do you want to start with one from Staying at Tamara's?
I would love to. So I'm going to, if it's okay with you, I'm going to play a song called Shotgun.
Yeah, your new single. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I did a lot of the songs came from this trip to Barcelona I took, and this is one of those songs.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'd also like to welcome our studio audience right now. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Yes. It's so fun to be able to bring some of our loyal Lightning 100 listeners in here.
Brilliant.
And get to meet an artist like you and see you perform. So now we're going to hear George play his song Shotgun live
here
on Lightning 100.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road. Gotta hit the road. Sun and change in the atmosphere, architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. Well, south of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. Deep sea diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager tops. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. We got two in the front, hey, two in the back, yeah, sailing along, and we don't look back, back, back. By in the yellow and green, stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone or someone or someone. Hey.
Yeah, man, that was super fun. That's George Ezra live on Lightning 100. That's Shotgun, the new single from Staying at Tamara's. And I'll tell you what, that made me want to take a road trip through Europe. It really did.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in this fortunate position where I had about a month where I could take myself wherever. And yeah, Barcelona felt like a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like you got some great songs out of that trip.
Yeah, and what I did was, instead of staying in a hotel, I just thought it would be more interesting if I found a stranger on the internet that was renting out their spare room, right?
So you're brave.
So I had this. Well, this is it. I didn't realize it was a bad idea. I didn't think it was until I landed, and then I was like, "What are you doing, man?"
How did it go?
It was amazing.
You're like, still here. So,
yeah, I'm still here. My host was a girl called Tamara, and
perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, she worked Monday to Friday, and her and her friends would kind of come in the evening and then go out. And there's a different way of life in Spain. It's a bit slower. That again helped me to slow down and relax. And
that's great.
I would just spend my days by myself, walking around and exploring the city. And on these trips, I'll take a guitar and I'll take notebooks, but I don't really write the songs while I'm away. I just journal, and I journal everything.
Yeah.
And no matter how mundane or boring. And then sometimes it will drift into fiction, and then sometimes, and it just,
love
and then when
that.
I get home, I put it in a jiffy bag, that journal, and I post it straight to my friend Joel, who I write with.
Oh, wow.
And he reads through it, and he picks out bits that he finds interesting, then he posts it back to me, and I pick out bits, and then we meet. And it could just be one word, that inspires a song, or,
Wow, you are brave. So you're journaling, and then you're mailing that off.
There's only one person I trust with those journals. And one time, actually, it was after a particularly fun tour of America. I sent him the journal, and he pulled me up on something. I was like, okay, that you don't read any more of this journal. I forgot that I wrote that. That's it. Now, we're done.
I think that's great, though. What a fun process. Yeah. So now, do you still live in England?
I do still live in England.
And so does he live there too? Or
he
is
does,
he?
Yeah.
Okay, all
yeah.
right. So you guys can finally get together and then actually work on it.
Yeah, we'll go away for like a week at a time and just share ideas.
How cool. That sounds really fun. Well, I remember when you came a couple of years ago when you played the Ryman and then joined us for another not-so-secret show with you. It was really fun. You talked about traveling then. So is that something that you've done since you were a little kid or your family or just when you got to be an adult?
Not in any like major way as a kid. Like we'd go on holiday.
Yeah.
And then it was on, just I'd signed a record deal and I was in a bit of a funny place in that I was like, okay, and now what? You know, I'll be honest, I was so naive when I signed, I thought I'd sign a record deal and within a month I'd have an album on the shelves. That's genuinely how I thought it worked.
Yeah, you have to record that
thing. Yeah, you got to write it, record it. And I remember it was my A&R man, he just said, what would you be doing if we hadn't signed you? And I said, well, I really wanted to just zip around Europe for a month. And he said, well, go and do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I just, there are some bands and there are some acts that I think are brilliant at writing songs about the mundane and they make it sound beautiful. And I just can't do it. I have to be out. And it's lovely to meet people, see new things and get, you know, images in my head.
Yeah, exactly. Way. Yeah, that's really cool. Well, it sounds like a really fun journey for you so far. And I could tell when you were performing that song, Shotgun, you just had a huge smile on your face. So I am really happy that you're having a great time with this as well. Because we all are, right, studio audience?
Yeah,
we love having George Ezra here. So you mentioned Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie a little bit earlier, and I was kind of surprised to learn of your sort of obsession with Bob Dylan. You're not alone. But that led you to Woody Guthrie and singers like Leadbelly. And tell us how that sort of influenced the sound that you created for yourself.
I don't know. I just think all kids are, and maybe not just kids, but we're all just trying to make a sound like the people that we're inspired by. Even if it's subconsciously, you're trying to do your thing and hope that it fits in somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I was inspired by, there was a lot of indie bands when I was a kid. There was a lot of these American singer-songwriters that I listened to. And the thing that glued them all together was a sense of storytelling.
Yes.
And quite gruff voices.
You've got a beautiful, smooth voice.
But yeah, as a teenager, I tried and tried and tried to have a rough voice.
Ah.
And I would play in indie bands and just scream.
Oh, no.
And shout. Yeah, tear my. Luckily, you know, we'd only play a gig a week. So it would kind of be like, don't talk for a week, play the gig and
rest
then go
up,
home.
Yeah.
And yeah, and now I've found my little spot and it feels comfortable to sing where I sing. And I think you start to. Your influences become less.
As you develop yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, I don't know. I think I loved that American singer-songwriter in quite a silly way in that I wasn't listening to what Woody Guthrie was saying. Now that I know the connotations historically and everything, it's a bit... They're a lot heavier songs, but I just had this image of a, you know, wandering man through America.
Troubadour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had this beautiful image and, you know, I wouldn't change that because that's what
inspired you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's what gave us your voice, your internal voice and the voice that you sing with. Mm. So, yeah, really beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, George.
Not at all.
You also have a podcast where you talk to other musicians.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool because you've talked to artists like Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous when you talked to Sir Elton? What was that like?
So I don't really get starstruck, and that's not like me boasting.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm George, and I don't get starstruck. It's I just, you know, I'm...
Yeah, we're all people.
Exactly. But that didn't count when I was sat. Because it was at his place, right? It was like, I'll do the interview. But we got to come to my place. Which already is like, okay. And then,
come on in, Elton.
Yeah, I got shown in. Yeah. And then it was like, Elton will be with you when he's ready kind of thing.
Of course.
And I just sat down and I was just doing my thing, looking around. And then I was like, man, you're in Elton John's lounge.
Right?
How's this happened?
Is this even my life? Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was told I would get 20 minutes with him, but if he enjoyed it, he'd keep talking. And an hour and 10 minutes later, we said goodbye.
Wow.
And it was just... I'll tell you what, so I record on these lapel microphones that require kind of radio frequencies. Very interesting stuff for listeners back home. And the radio frequencies just didn't work.
Oh, no.
And so luckily I've got this backup thing. And then I had to get to Heathrow Airport in London straight afterwards. And I've never got through security so quickly. I got the memory card out, put it in my laptop. I was going, please, please, please. Because how do you say that to Elton? Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Could I just pop back round? Could we re-record that hour long?
Right. Yeah. Sorry, it didn't work. Oops,
but it was there. Yeah. And I just, the sigh of relief. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I can imagine.
But it's been amazing. This podcast is kind of, it's the one thing. I'm in a very fortunate position whereby I'm signed to a major label, which means that there's, once I've written and recorded the music, there's help at every corner. You know, there's the marketing team, the online team, the TV, radio, da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it also means is there's very few things I do that don't involve a lot of conversations. And so the podcast is just me. And I went out and got
great.
The gig. Yeah, and it means that I've got this project, it's like a hobby. Project on the side. It's
how
brilliant.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah, and how fun for you to get to talk to your contemporaries and artists like Sir Elton John.
Yeah,
and you talked to Giles Martin too. That must have been...
I did speak to Giles Martin. What a lovely person. And he was actually, that was the first episode I recorded.
Oh, wow.
And bear in mind, I mean, that guy knows how to record stuff. So I turn up with this recording gear and I'm like, Mr. Bean, like, it's all falling about the place. So I was going, oh, bear with me. One minute.
Great.
And it was at Abbey
Road.
Could
you help me, by the way,
Giles?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
It was at Abbey Road.
It was at Abbey Road.
Wow.
And it was just... a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Well, I'm really happy for all your success, and it sounds
Thank
like
you.
You're just having so much fun with everything.
Yeah.
Keep doing it, and if you would, play another one for us.
Of course, I'm going to end today with Budapest.
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
What do you guys think about him playing Budapest? Thank you. George Ezra, live on Lightning 100. Thanks, George.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo, you. Ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I have achieved, it may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, yeah, ooh, I'd leave it all. I'd leave it all. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. My friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, yeah, ooh, I'd lose it all. I'd lose it all. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. And give me one good reason why I should never make a change. And baby, if you hold me, then all of this will go away. My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo, you. Ooh, yeah, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, yeah, ooh, I'd leave it all.
Yay! That's George Ezra live on Lightning 100 with Budapest. What a joy to have you in the studio today.
Thank you so much
for being here. And thank you all to our studio audience. Thanks for hanging around. And you get to meet and chat with George for a minute now. Lucky you guys. Thanks. That was really
fun.
Really enjoyed having you here. I'm going to spin a tune from Staying at Tomorrow's. Hey. Another one that we've been playing. It's called Paradise. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Have a great one. It's George Ezra. This is Paradise on Lightning 100.